You sorted the other? You sorted? This last few weeks I've had occasion to attend two funerals, and of course at the funeral we're brought to mind our own mortality, that one, if the Lord should be not returned, that one day it'll be my funeral and my coffin. And so it makes us think of our mortality. But because now I was thinking of the hymn of Horatio Spafford, you know, where he is able to say that when peace like a river attendeth his way, and he also could say, it is well with my soul. So I was thinking about him and his testimony. So there's a man called Lloyd Newell, and he said, life can be so unpredictable. Days and sorrows, beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties can come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. We all know this to be true. So how can we find peace amid such turbulence? And Spafford, he found such peace amid such turbulence. Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and a real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Fire of Chicago in 1871. Around this same time, his beloved 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a vacation would do his family some good, he sent his wife and 4 daughters on a ship to England, planning to join them after he finished some pressing business at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all 4 of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife Anna survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England. At one point during the voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck the Spafford family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the spot where the shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio thought about his daughter's words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind, and he wrote them down, and they have since become a well-beloved hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and have shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss, oh this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. For me, be it Christ hence to live, if Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou shalt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait, the sky, not the grave is our goal, the trump of the angel and the voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. When the ship's captain had summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the spot where the shipwreck occurred. And as Horatio thought about his daughter's words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind. And we wonder what they were. What were these words of hope and comfort? Could they have been 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 13? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Because, as 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 states, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Horatio, beloved son, and four daughters were absent from their bodies and present with the Lord in heaven. Thus, then, the last verse of the hymn states that, but Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed rest of my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. And we can read of the promise of the Lord's return in Acts chapter 1 and reading from verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner, as ye have seen him go into heaven. In these verses, we have seen the promise of the Lord's return. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we can read of the method of the Lord's return. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. In these verses where we read of the method of the Lord's return, we see that when the Lord returns, that he will bring with him the spirits of all those believers in Jesus Christ who have died and went to heaven. And the Lord's return is heralded with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the Lord's return is to the air. Firstly, the dead bodies of those who have died in Christ will arise from their graves, wherever their graves may be. Then those believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will also be caught up bodily to meet with the Lord in the air, along with the bodies of the dead in Christ, to meet with the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we are to comfort one another with these words. Then we can read more of the method of the Lord's return to the air in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. This mortal shall have put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then in these verses we see that when the dead in Christ are raised from the dead, and those believers in the Lord at that time, when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, that their corruptible bodies are changed in the twinkling of an eye into incorruptible, immortal, eternal bodies, which the Lord Jesus Christ bodies. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated sin, death, and hell. And there we can read of a further method of the Lord's return in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, that is, our way of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. For our way of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. In these verses we see that our destination is heaven, from whence also we are to look for the return of the Lord. And are we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ actively looking for his return? Then we can see that when the Lord returns, he will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And so we see that when the Lord returns to the air, that we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have asked him to save us, will all receive an incorruptible, immortal body, fashioned like unto his glorious body, which is able to ascend into heaven, to appear in closed rooms and disappear again out of them. Horatio wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when peace like a river attendeth my way, he sees peace like a river of water flowing continually to the sea, so that there is a continual flow of peace for him. So how does he get such peace? When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save us, Romans 5 and 1 states that we are therefore justified by faith. We then have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace. When we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, we have peace with God. Romans 8 and 17 states, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Isaiah 9 and 6 states, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. And John 14, verse 27 states, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And from these verses we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, came to seek and to save the lost, and to give his peace to them. Then we, when we were in our lost estate, never knew any peace until we came and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and asked him to save us. Then we became children of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we knew for the very first time peace with God. As Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 reads, and you have he quickened, that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in these verses we see that when we were all in our lost estate, that we walked according to the lusts of our flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and we were all children of wrath, even as others. But now, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and asked him to save us, when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, and we have peace with God, and by grace ye are saved, and are raised up together, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 reads, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And in these verses we see that if we pray without worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. Then if we pray in this way, we will experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And this peace shall keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Then Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 states, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusts in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Horatio knew peace, flowing continually like a river. But here in Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, we are given instruction how to have perfect peace. And can there be any better peace than perfect peace? So then how do we acquire this perfect peace? Well then the answer is in the verse, whose mind is stayed on thee? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So we are to keep our minds continually on God and to trust God to deliver all that he has promised in his word. So first, we must read God's word and believe God's word to meditate and continually think about what God is saying and then to obey what God says. The hymnal has it right when it says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Horatio wrote that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Horatio recognized himself as a sinner, and indeed everyone is a sinner, as Romans 3:23 states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when Horatio wrote that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul, Horatio realized that he was helpless to do anything about his burden of sin. But then Horatio says that Christ regarded his helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. So Horatio was saved from his burden of sin through the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And John 1 John 1 and verse 7 states, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And notice the cleansing power of Christ's precious blood as it cleanses us from all our sin, including past sin, present sin, and future sin. And Psalm 103 verse 12 states that, as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord Jesus Christ removed our transgressions from us. And as far as the east is from the west means that the distance is immeasurable. The distance goes on and on for infinity. Psalm 55 and verse 22 advises, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Horatio cast his burden upon the Lord and found peace like a river attending his way, and could say, whatever my lot, whatever life and circumstances throw at me, thou hast taught me to know that it is well with my soul. If you are listening to this message and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why not just now cast your burdens of sin upon him? Ask him to save you, and he will, for his promise is, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, ask him to save them, they shall be saved. But know this, that now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, for tomorrow for you may never come. Amen. Could we sing 413 in the Believer's Hymn Book? And we'll just keep our seats and sing, and then after we'll sing the hymn of Davy and commit the meeting to the Lord. 413.